It had rained for 40 days and 40 nights. Not only had it rained, but the Bible says that the fountains of the deep had broken open. The waters covered the earth, and you read a little bit in chapter 7 of Genesis, you see where they stayed upon the earth for 150 days. And then the water started to go down. And again, you read in chapter 8, it says for another 150 days, the waters went down and tops of the mountains were seen. And after another 40 days, Noah opened the window of the ark and he sent out two birds. He sent out a raven and then he sent out a dove. And when I was a kid, I always used to read this part of the Bible and I said, why didn't the raven come back? I know, you know, the dove came back. The Bible talks about that. But why didn't the raven came back? And as I began to grow up, I began to understand what kind of birds that ravens were. In the Bible, the raven is an unclean bird. It couldn't be used for sacrifice. And so when Noah sent out the raven, I now understand what the raven did. I'm sure at that particular time when just the tops of the mountains were still seen that there were probably a lot of dead bodies floating on the floods, the flood water. And that raven would just go from body to body and eat the dead flesh. He would go to the mountaintops where there was probably a bunch of garbage left by the flood waters and there eat as well. As the waters began to go down and the trees began to be uncovered, even though the branches probably were slippery and slimy from the flood waters, the raven had no problem with that. He would just go perch on one of those slippery, slimy branches. You see, when Noah sent the raven out, he went out into the world that he loved. It was a world full of filth. It was a world full of garbage. It was a virtual smorgasbord for him. And his nature kept him out in the filth of the world. And he didn't want to go back to the ark. But then Noah sent the dove out. The dove is just the opposite of a raven. The dove is a clean bird. It was offered as sacrifices, especially by those Jews that were poor. When Joseph and Mary went to present Jesus on his eighth day of life in a human body, they offered a dove for him as a sacrifice. And you remember when Jesus was baptized, it was the form of a dove that the Holy Spirit came down and hovered over him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I'm well pleased." When Noah sent out the dove, here's what happened. He saw the same floating corpses that the raven did and said, "Nope, this is not for me. I'm not stopping here." When he went to the high mountains and saw all the garbage that were strewed on the mountaintops, he said, "Nope, this place stinks. This place is not for me." And then when the waters went down and the tree branches began to appear, again, before the sun came out and dried them out, they were slimy and slippery, and the dove tried her foot on one of those and said, "Nope, this place is not for me either." And the dove went back. You see, there was something in the raven that liked to be around the dead, but that same thing wasn't in the dove. There was something in the raven that liked to be around garbage, but that same thing wasn't in the dove. Doves don't like to pick at the dead like ravens do. Doves don't like the filth like ravens do. And I can just imagine as the raven and the dove maybe met up outside the ark that day that they were both out there, and the raven said, "Hey, Mr. Dove, welcome to freedom. We're not cooped up in the ark." And by the way, you do the math, they were in there almost a year. Probably over a year when you add all the days together. And the raven said, "We're not cooped up in that crowded old ark with Noah and all the animals. We don't have to obey the rules that Mr. Noah put on us anymore. We have our freedom. And look at all this good stuff that's here for us to have." And the dove said to the raven, "Doesn't look very good to me. In fact, I'd like it a whole lot better in the ark than I do out here. I'm going to go back to the ark. There's too much garbage out here. There's too much filth out here. There's too many dead things out here. I'm going to go back to the ark where it's clean and it's safe. I'm going to go back home. These two birds paint a picture of people that are here today. Now, there are a few people here today that may be still ravens. Ravens. I'll just point out to you, you don't want to be here. You'd just soon be anywhere but in God's house. You're here because somebody made you came or you couldn't get out of it. And you're sitting there now thinking to yourself, boy, I can't wait till this preacher gets done. I got a lot of good things I want to do this afternoon. I don't like it here. I don't want to be here. And as soon as I can, I'm getting out of here. And the ravens represent the people that don't know Jesus Christ as their Savior. They're still caught up in the things of the world. They're still enjoying the things of the world. And you can't wait, if you're here this morning as a raven, you can't wait to get back to the world because the things of God hold no appeal to you. But I'll tell you, this morning, most of the folks here are doves. You've been born again. You can look back to that day where you admitted that you were a sinner. And you understood that there was a penalty for that sin. And you confessed that you had nothing to pay. There was nothing that you could do to give to God or to do for God that can make up for your sins. And you met Jesus Christ, and as both Roy and Kelly sing about and Teresa sing about, you realized that you were imprisoned in the chains of sin, and there was a penalty for that sin that you had to pay, and there was nothing that you could do to pay that penalty. But one day you heard about Jesus. One day you heard about the Son of God that went to Calvary's cross, took your nails, took your crown of thorn, took your spear, and died on Calvary to pay for your sins. And most people here this morning can point back to that time in their life where they accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior. When you got saved, God put a new nature in you. In the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 4, here's what the Bible says. Whereby are given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises. Now what's more great and what's more precious than the promise that says, whosoever believeth in him shall not perish but have everlasting life. That's a great, wonderful promise. What's greater than the promise? Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What's greater than the promise? But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. So we got these great and precious promises that were given unto us, exceedingly great and precious promises, that by these, listen to me, that by these great, exceedingly great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature. When you got saved, you got a new nature. You still have the old one. I still have my old one. That old nature that enjoys the things of the world. That old nature that wants me to be a raven. That old nature that draws me to the filth and the unrighteousness that this world is filled up with. But when I got saved, I got a new nature. It was a divine nature. It's a nature of God. When the Holy Spirit came in and took up residence in me, I got a new nature. And I'll tell you what, that new nature is like the dove. It doesn't like the things of the world. It doesn't like the filth of the world. So I got that new nature. And then let me finish the verse. Having escaped the corruption that is in the world. That new nature, again, is like the dove. It doesn't like the dead bodies. It doesn't like the filth. It doesn't like the sin in the world. But as we look out from the ark this morning, we see a strange sight. We see not only ravens that are there enjoying the filth of the world, but we also see doves. There's doves that are feeding on the carcasses of the dead bodies. There's doves that are eating at the devil's trough. There's doves that are enjoying the filth of the world. And we know that it happens. And by the way, it can happen to any of us if we're not careful. We get hooked up with the old crowd, and the old crowd draws us back into the old way of life. We go and miss church. We get sick and miss church for two or three weeks or 2 or 3 months. And the old nature says, ha, 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 come on, let's go back to the places that we used to go. Let's go back and meet with the people that we used to meet with. Let's go back and do the things that we used to do. And all of us know how easy that is to fall back in that old nature. Because you see, again, when we got saved, we got a new nature. We didn't get rid of the old one. The Bible says those two natures war against one another. The raven nature that we have wants to pull us back to sin. The dove nature that we have wants us to do right. And if we're not careful, we listen to the raven. The next thing we know, we're sitting on the carcasses of the world. We're enjoying the filth of the world. We're mixed up in the garbage of the world. We knew better days. We used to read the Bible and cherish it. We used to come to church and enjoy it. Used to maybe teach a Sunday school class, sing in the choir. And yet we got mixed up with the things of the world, and we've been drawn away from the things of God. And this morning I want to talk to the doves that are outside the ark, and I want to talk to the doves that are inside the ark so that you don't get outside the ark. And then when I get done, I want to talk to the ravens. I want to talk to the doves that are outside the ark. I want to say three things. And as I'm talking to you, I'm talking to the doves that are inside the ark, encouraging you not to leave. Number one, you won't enjoy the world like you used to. Listen to me. If you're a Christian and you turn away from God and try to go back into the world, you will not enjoy the world the way you used to. You can go ahead, go back. Go back to your old friends. Go back to your old haunts. Go back to the things that you used to do. I guarantee you, you will not enjoy it like you used to. You say, oh, well, preacher, I've been there. You don't know what you're talking about. The parties I go to, I enjoy just as much. The things that I used to do, I enjoy just as much. And the people I used to hang around with, I've gone back to them. I enjoy them just as much. Now look, you may tell that lie to somebody else and they may believe you, but this preacher doesn't believe you for a minute. If you've been saved and born again and got that new nature inside of you, every moment that you spend in the world with the old friends and the old haunts doing the old things, you're not going to enjoy. Because there is a part of you, the Holy Spirit that resides in you, that as you're involved in those things, every moment is saying to you, I don't want to be here. And you shouldn't be here. And it ain't no fun to be here. Let's go back to where we belong. Let's go back to where the Bible is preached and the gospel is preached and the Bible is taught and people care for us. Let's not, you go ahead. Talk to the prodigal son. Talk to him when he was over in that far land. The Bible says sin for a season is pleasurable. But when it ends in death. Go back and talk to the prodigal son. Hey, when you're over in that far country and you were over there with in sin apart from the father, did you enjoy it? Oh yeah, the parties were good. I had lots of friends. But then my money ran out. And I ended up slopping the hogs. And it was terrible. I want you to think of the most godly person that you know in your life. Maybe it's your dad. Maybe it's your mom. Maybe a grandparent. Husband, wife. The most godly person that you know in your life. And then I want you to imagine going back into your old way of life, going back into sin with them. You're going to sit here this morning and tell me you would enjoy that? Not for a minute. In fact, knowing that they were with you would probably keep you from going back into that old way of life. I want to remind you this morning that the Holy Spirit of God lives in every single person that's been born again. How can you even think about leaving the things of God and going back to the things of the world? The Holy Spirit is not going to give you one moment of peace, not one moment of comfort. And I say, praise God that He doesn't. When I go back into sin, I want the Holy Spirit on my shoulder, in my heart, in my head, saying, we ought not to be here. Don't go there. You might not think your preacher gets tempted, but I'm a human being just like you. I get tempted. I get discouraged. I sometimes want to go back to the way it was. But I'm glad we got a God that said, no, 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 no. You won't enjoy it. You won't enjoy it. Just stay where you're supposed to be. And if you think you can go back to the world and enjoy it like you're used to, you are wrong. You won't enjoy it like you used to. Number two, to those doves that are outside the ark, the window is still open. The window is still open. There's still a light burning in that window. There's still, to the dove, there's still Mr. Noah standing looking at that window to welcome the little dove back into the ark. I read a story not too long ago about an evangelist that went to a small town out west to hold a revival. And he was there 4 weeks, and in the course of those 4 weeks, one of the men in the church came to him and said, sir, I'd like you to pray with me. I have a burden. And the evangelist says, I'd be glad to pray with you. What is it? He says, a few weeks before you got here, my oldest son did some things that disappointed his mother and I. And when we rebuked him for it, by the way, as all fathers should do, and I'm just going to pause for a second. This is not part of my sermon. I'm throwing this in for nothing this morning. You're a father. Your children does do something that disappoints you. Something that's wrong. Something that's against this book. Don't think for a minute that you are doing them a favor by overlooking it. Don't think that you're doing them a favor by being a good guy and not mentioning it. Now, if your kids are little, you ought to just wear the daylights out of them. You say, preacher, are you for spanking? You bet. I'm for spanking the right way. I don't think you ought to beat your kids. But I'll tell you what, I don't want them to miss what I got from my dad. I got spanked a lot. I deserved every single one of them and probably more than I got. But I thank God that I had a dad when I was little that spanked me. And I'll tell you what, I thank God that even though I'm 56 years old, if I'm about to get into the ding weeds, I got a dad that will say, hey, you better think about what you're doing. You better look at what you're doing. And I don't care how old your children are, as their father, you have a responsibility from God to keep them on that straight and narrow way. You can't spank them like you did when they were little kids, but you can sure open this book and say, hey, let's look into this book together. Where was I? Oh, okay, yeah. I was telling you a story. The father said to the evangelist, our son did some things that disappointed us, and we rebuked him, and he left home. Left home. There was only one train that came and went out of town. That was the way you traveled back in those days. And the evangelist had a hotel right across from the train station, and every day when the train came into town, he saw this father at the station looking at the train. After a couple days, he went over to him and said, hey, why are you here looking at the train every day? And the father said, because I think my boy's going to come back home and I want to be here when he comes back home. Evangelist had a meeting for 4 weeks. Every day he looked out the window, that dad was there. When he got ready to go, he got on that one train that came in and out of town. And the father was there. They exchanged pleasantries and The father again asked the evangelist, "Would you pray for my son that God would send him home?" And the evangelist said, "Yes." He went on about his work to different revival meetings and things, and after 7 years, he was invited back to that same little town. He rode the one train, still one train, that came into town every day. And as he rode into town, he saw that same father on the platform of the station looking into every single window. He got off. They said hello to each other. The evangelist says, "Has your son come home yet?" And the dad said, "No, not yet. Not yet. You still come every day to the station looking for him?" And the father said, "I've been here every day since you left. Every day looking for my son." At that very moment, a young man gets off the train. A clean, strong-looking young man. And this dad looks at that young man and says, "Excuse me, preacher, I've got to go. Welcome home, my son." Evangelist looks, and that young man comes to his dad and falls down on his knees. Says, "Daddy, I'm sorry I hurt you. I'm sorry I hurt Mama. Can I come back home?" Daddy falls to his knees, takes him in his arms, and says, "Yes, you can. We've been waiting since the day that you left to welcome you back home." I want to tell you something this morning. If you're a dove outside the ark, if you've wandered away from God, there is a Father in heaven, just like the father in that story, just like the father of the prodigal son, who is longing for you to come back home, who is longing for you to get back to where you ought to be, who watches every single day for you to come back. So I say to you doves that are outside the ark this morning, you won't enjoy the world like you used to. Number two, the window's still open. Number three, the arms of God are outstretched. Noah sent the dove out. She tried the carcasses, didn't like them. Tried the dead bodies, didn't like them. Tried the slimy tree branches, didn't like them. Tried the garbage heaps on top of the mountains, didn't like them. That's why the Bible says in verse 9 of Genesis chapter 8, "But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot." And this little dove says to herself, "I'm going to go back. I don't like it out here in the world. I mean, this place stinks. It's dirty. It's full of filth." And by the way, when you get that new nature, you see the world for what it really is. It's full of filth. It's dirty. It stinks. And so this little dove heads back to the ark, and she starts to think, "Boy, I wonder if I could get back in. I wonder if the window will still be open. I wonder if Noah has given up on me and shut the window. What would I do then?" So she keeps flying toward the ark. She sees it in the distance. And as she gets closer, her heart leaps because she can make out the outline of the window because it's still open and there's a light coming out of it. But that's not all. There's an old man standing by that window, and he's looking this way and that way. And she says, "You know, I've been out here. I've been around the stink of the world, and I don't smell so good. I've been in the filth of the world, and I'm a little bit dirty. I'm not as clean as I used to be. I wonder if Noah still wants me in the ark." And then the Bible says a wonderful thing. "Then he put forth his hand and took her, and pulled her in unto him into the ark. Oh, I can just picture it in my mind. Here's Noah. He sees that little dove coming, and he reaches out his arms, says, "Come on, come on." And when she gets close, he grabs her. He pulls her unto himself like this and brings her into the ark. You know, that's exactly what God wants to do to us when we wander. That's exactly what God will do to us when we go back into the world and get away from Him. He never shuts the window. He never turns the light off. He's always there looking this way and that way. And as we head back to Him, He stretches out His arms. And He says, "Come on home. Come on home." Just like the father of the prodigal son. You remember when he saw his son coming, he ran to meet him. And he pulled him to himself and he hugged him and kissed him. And he said, "Welcome home. Welcome home." Oh, I'm glad of God that when we wander and stray away from Him, doesn't give up on us. I'm glad of God when we go back into the world and we backslide and we get back to the things that we used to do before we got saved. I'm glad we got a God that doesn't disown us. I'm glad we got a God that welcomes us back home. Now let me say a word to the ravens. You that don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the world doesn't satisfy you either. If you're honest with yourself, you would have to say, "Yep, I've tried what this old world has to offer, and you're right, it doesn't satisfy." You see, sin keeps you from being satisfied. Sin keeps you from getting that thing that you need to have peace. That thing I'm talking about is a relationship with your Creator, a relationship with God. You've heard me say many times from this pulpit, every single one of us was made to fellowship with God. Sin breaks up that fellowship. And you'll always have an empty spot in your life apart from God. Bible says, again, sin is pleasurable for a season, but when it ends in death. And that's the punishment for sin, death, separation from God forever and ever. But again, as Maureen Kelly sang about, as Teresa sang about, when Jesus went to the cross, He paid the punishment for our sin. He paid everything that we owed. And you look at my sin debt this morning up in heaven, it is covered by the blood of the Lamb. And not only is my sin forgiven, the Bible says that God will not put on my record, He will not impute to me another sin, because Jesus took care of all of them. All of them. If you're here this morning, you've never gotten into the ark, you've never asked Jesus to be your Savior, let me invite you to come this morning. I know people say, I've had people say to me over the years, I can't get saved because I'd have to give up too much. I just have to give up too much. I enjoy the life that I live. And I always say to them, well, what's the harm in trying it? You've lived your life for the devil and you think you enjoy it. I'll just tell you, you ain't seen nothing till you come to God. Why don't you just give Him a shot? Why don't you just try Him? Why don't you just try Jesus and see if He doesn't give you more than the world has to offer. And there are countless people in this room this morning that can stand and testify. Amen. 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 I've never regretted my decision to receive Jesus Christ as my Savior. The world doesn't compare. It cannot compare to what we have in Christ Jesus. If you're a raven here this morning, you can get a new nature. Jesus can give you that nature. He can give you a home in heaven. He can forgive you of your sins. Would you come and take Him this morning? But as many as received Him, to to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Let's pray together. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the truth.